the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. As we progress through the season of Advent onto this second Sunday of Advent, we remain mindful of the character of the season. Advent in many ways parallels the season of Lent in that it has a dual theme. It is both penitential and is also marked with hopeful anticipation. Now, of course, this dual theme of sorrow over sin and hope in the vindication by Christ's life, death, and resurrection are themes that run throughout the entirety of the Christian life from baptism until death. Couple these two themes with the joyous celebration of the forgiveness of sins already received and the victory already won over the unholy Trinity of sin, death, and the devil, we have the complete scaffolding, if you will, of the whole Christian life in this world. We see this pattern played out in the divine service, as we saw this morning. We began with the penitential sorrow over sin. I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, and I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And then the gift of forgiveness is given and received in the absolution. I forgive you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then you sing the Amen, meaning truly, truly, yes, yes, it shall be so. And then we turn to that celebratory praise, glory be to God on high, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Now, in the season of Christmas, Epiphany, and Easter, the joyous celebration is emphasized. For us men and for our salvation, Christ came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost to the Virgin Mary. Thanks be to God. And then in Easter, we have that Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. That's right. That joyous season. Now in Advent and Lent, the penitential and hopeful anticipation aspects are emphasized, although Lent leans more heavily and starkly into the penitential side of things. Hence the colors are that nice deep purple. The Gloria in Excelsis, as well as all the Alleluias, are banished from the Sunday service. While Advent leans more into the hopeful anticipation. Yes, there is a penitential aspect. The Gloria in Excelsis is gone because we have put ourselves in the place of Old Testament Israel and await Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, Son of the Father, who takest away the sins of the world. And so also we await the second coming and the final judgment. And thus we are penitential. We prepare our hearts through the Word of God to receive the grace of our Savior and ready ourselves for that second coming. But the color is blue. It is the color of hope. And the Alleluias nonetheless remain, because we know that He comes with grace and salvation. The preaching of John the Baptist perfectly encapsulates these two themes of Advent and even gives us a picture of what the church's preaching should look like today. Especially in our day when the message of the gospel, the truth of the faith, is met with such a hostile audience. John is a stern preacher of repentance, and because of it, he is not beloved by the political or religious or cultural establishment of his day. Let us take note of John's example, because the Apostle Paul says, whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. John's message was not well received. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious and cultural elite of the day, could not agree on much. They hated each other. But there is two things that they agreed on. One, that they didn't like John. And two, that they hated the one to whom John pointed, our Lord Jesus Christ. So too, the political establishment did not like John. Josephus, writing in the second century to a Roman audience, notes that out of King Herod's suspicious temper, John was imprisoned, because Herod feared that John's preaching to the Jews to exercise virtue, both as to righteousness towards one another and piety towards God, and so to come to baptism, might lead to rebellion against his rule. John did not even fear to preach against the sexual immorality of the king himself. And the form of cancellation that was practiced back then was much more of the beheading kind than the kicking you off of Twitter kind. And so John's preaching of repentance led first to his imprisonment and his head being cut off to be presented to Herod's niece at a royal banquet. But then, because of his endurance and faithful clinging to God's promises in Christ, he is now crowned with glory, and he has won the prize to be seated among the most honored of guests at the Lamb's royal banquet feast on the last day. Indeed, today many argue that in order to engage the culture, the church needs to be more winsome. There is an idea that if only we could speak in the right way, in a way that doesn't sound too harsh, maybe paper over some of the tougher topics like marriage and sexuality, compromise a bit with the culture, avoid topics like sin and judgment, we can regain the respect of the world and win many over to Jesus. But that ignores the fact that what the world hates is Jesus. It hates the light because it does not want its sin to be revealed. Even the preaching of the forgiveness of sins sounds like condemnation to the unbeliever, because what does it imply? That you are a sinner in need of forgiveness. John the Baptist is a stern preacher of repentance, and he is not loved for it, but he does it because he loves them to whom he was sent, because he has come to prepare the way for Jesus. John is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when Isaiah said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and his message was simple: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was not winsome. And note that he is not in the courts of the temple, nor an esteemed philosopher in the Areopagus, nor in the palace precincts. He is in the wilderness, an outsider. He is not a politician. He is not a megachurch pastor. He is not a university professor who bends and waffles to the pressures of the opinions of men. How, indeed, instead, with prophetic fervor and zeal for the word of God, he warns his hearers that the axe is already laid to the root of the tree and that the barren tree will be burnt in the fire. He tells them that the chaff will be consumed in unquenchable fire. He will not lie or even sugarcoat his message to appease feelings. He will not scratch any itching ears or water down the reality of coming judgment. He will not ignore the false doctrines of the Pharisees or the Sadducees that lead to despair and to death. He will not gloss over differences, for he will not trivialize God's word. He preaches fire and brimstone, hell and damnation without apology. John's message is simple: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is life and death. It is the truth. Get with it or be destroyed. He preaches what is necessary, even if he is hated and despised for it. And why does he preach this? Not to gain the love of the world. It is not to gain wealth or money, fame or honor. It is to reveal to his hearers their condition, that they are sinful men and women, estranged from God, pursuing their own pursuits, and therefore liable to judgment. He preaches the law and repentance to prepare the way for Jesus. He reveals their sin so that with a bony finger and gaunt face, he might point to Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. His harsh words are true compassion and true love, not the false compassion of niceness. His preaching is true charity, for he preaches the truth. He preaches what people need to hear, even at the cost of his own life. He lives out that Christian ethic. Do what is right and suffer the consequences. And he, like all the faithful, gains the crown of glory, which is worth it every time. John preaches repentance so that he might point to the one who is mightier than he, so that he could preach of Jesus. He preaches sorrow for sin in hopeful anticipation of the advent of the one who comes. Jesus does not just preach about the fire, but he brings it. He baptizes with it. Now the question is, of course, what does it mean that Jesus baptizes with fire? For one thing, it means that Christ baptizes us into his own death, so that his death is our death. He himself is the whole burnt offering. He is utterly consumed in righteous anger, is forsaken by the Father, is roasted in the fiery wrath for sins that he did not commit. And it is this agonizing, unnatural death, that submission to hell's worst, that is the life of the world. It is the forgiveness of sins, for Christ baptizes his church into his own death. He baptizes her into his damnation upon the cross. He baptizes to kill the sinful nature in order that he might bring his church back to life, to be her husband, to consummate that marriage by pulling her out of the flames and becoming one with her. He purifies, justifies, sanctifies her with his death and resurrection. He declares her to be a virgin, clean, healthy, adorable, chaste, immaculate, by grace, by vicarious satisfaction, by what he has done and joined to her. By uniting us with him in baptism, the waters have become a cleansing fire. John preaches repentance so there might be salvation in Christ, so that all who hear him will turn from their sin to the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, that they might receive a baptism into the forgiveness of sins. And thus, during Advent, it is the duty of the church to sternly preach repentance in hopeful anticipation of salvation in Christ. And at all other times as well, of course, to preach the word in season and out of season, if it is popular or unpopular, in the halls of power or in the town square or from the wilderness. Let us, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, to be ready to be a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Be baptized into the fire of Christ's own death. He is your righteousness, and there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Amen. You may rise for the offertory.